We're going to begin tonight, and we're going to look at several verses tonight, but I want you to go to Romans chapter 12 to begin tonight. Romans chapter number 12. And I was doing some messages on righteous living and righteousness before, you know, back in 2015. And I want to kind of continue some thoughts on that and to give you some helps tonight on living a righteous life. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said in John 17:17, he's praying to the Father and he said, "Thy word is truth." And we sung that tonight, didn't we, about the word of God and what was the name of it? Thy word, yeah, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Yeah, and That's you all know where that's from, right? You know where that verse is from? Psalm. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, right? Amen. Yeah, it's in the book of Psalms. Thy words, a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Psalm 119. There's absolutely, would you all agree with me? There's no way to live a righteous life without truth. Believe that? The indwelling Holy Spirit of God, he's called the Spirit of Truth, he reveals to us the truth. God's truth is found in his word. Now, we have to choose whether or not we're going to believe it and act on it. That's our choice. We can choose to believe God's word or we can choose to believe Satan's lies. Would y'all agree there's plenty of lies out there to believe, you know? And Satan's, you know, a lot of lies. And you got to choose which one you're going to believe. There's no doubt about that. Eve, right? Adam and Eve. Eve made an unrighteous choice. Why? Because she chose to believe Satan's lies instead of what God told her. You know, and I tell you, as I study the Bible, I'm going to tell you this right now, flat out. I so much respect those guys back there. That I respect so much those guys like Noah that we talked about this morning and Abraham and these guys. Do you realize they had no written word of God? You know, Noah had no Bible, but yet he gets off that ark and the first thing he does is build an altar to worship God. You know, and I tell you, it's buddy, I tell you, that is the real deal. Abraham, you know, he went to the place where he stood before the Lord. He's seeking God on a consistent, regular basis and had no written word of God at all. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't worship and we don't pray and we don't study God's word and we don't know the truth, man, I tell you what, it is nobody's fault but our own, is it? I mean, buddy, it couldn't be any more readily accessible to us today than it is. Today, we are constantly bombarded with Satan's lies. Satan tries to feed our minds with his lies every single day. And the battle is for the mind. There's no doubt about that. And if we feed our minds Satan's lies long enough, well, we begin to live by those false principles. We begin to think those lies are truth. We begin to think those lies are going to get us somewhere. Man, they're going to really bring us pleasure and happiness and joy, and those lies are really going to fulfill us. And if you feed your mind enough with that, pretty soon you're going to start believing it, and you're going to start acting on it. And that's the issue. You know, Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds all these evil things. And it's because we saturate our mind and our hearts with lies. But on the other hand, the good news is, if we saturate our minds with God's truth, then we begin to live by God's principles. That's the key, saturating your mind with truth. And as we feast our minds upon God's word, which is truth, the Holy Spirit can then begin to teach us and can begin to do his work of righteousness in our life. He begins to train us in righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 12. That's where I had you go to first. And look at this verse here, Romans 12 and verse number 2. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world, but be ye transformed. Remember this morning I talked about how God is a God of change. You see that up here when Christ rose, everything changed and he gives new life, new beginnings. Our God is a God of change. And that word transform there is that word I told you, metamorphosis, that we get. And notice he says, how do I get transformed? How do I change? How do I live righteously? Look what it says. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renew there carries the idea of reprogramming your mind. It's the idea of reprogramming your mind. Notice that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So then I read that and I say, okay, wait a minute. I got to renew my mind. I've got to reprogram my thinking. I have to replace Satan's lies with God's truth. It's not enough to simply quit feeding on Satan's lies. It's not enough to just say, well, I'm not going to feed anymore on Satan's lies. I'm going to stay off of those websites that are feeding me lies. I'm going to stay away from the magazines. I'm going to stay away from friends that are feeding me these lies. I'm going to stay away from the movies that are feeding me. I'm not going to feed myself those lies anymore. That's not enough. You got to renew. You have to reprogram. You have to quit feeding on Satan's lies, but then we have to begin feeding our minds on God's truth. We have to begin feeding and feasting on the truth of God. We have to saturate our minds with truth. The Spirit of God, He's the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says He guides us into all truth. So the Spirit of God, if you're saved, how many of you have the Holy Spirit? Huh? Say it again. What? All. Right. Pastor Rich has a great new life group series on the Holy Spirit. And you nail that down in the series that you do on the Holy Spirit. Maybe your life group will be covering that pretty soon. I don't know. It's a fairly new curriculum. We just, Pastor Rich just wrote that and got that going last year. But it's on the Holy Spirit. And it talks about the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the fact that every single Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And He's called the Spirit of truth. Well, if He's the Spirit of truth, and that's the Word of truth, then don't you think that the Spirit of God is going to use that to change my life? Amen, church? I never forgot this little saying. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes the child of God like the Son of God. It's true. That's exactly true. The Spirit of God inside of me takes the Word of God, makes the child of God like the Son of God. Don't y'all agree that you're not trying to be like me? You're not trying to be like Richard Shannon or Rob or Clint. You're trying to be like Jesus Christ. Amen? We want to be transformed into His image. We want to treat people like Christ would treat people. We want to act like Christ would act. We want Christ to live through us. We want the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, to live through us. So, how do I saturate my mind with His truth? I want to give you some simple thoughts tonight on that, and I hope you'll take these thoughts, and I hope you'll act on them this week. There's three or four ways that you can saturate your mind with truth. Now, I'm going to give you these, and I want you to understand something, that each point I'm going to give you tonight is going to take you deeper. Each point I give you is a deeper level of embedding God's truth into your mind. Picture got a piece of wood here, and you got a hammer, and you got a nail, you know, and you hit that nail once, and then you hit it again, it goes deeper, and then you hit it again, and it goes deeper, and then you hit it again, and it goes deeper and deeper into the wood with each hit. Well, tonight I want to share with you how to saturate your mind with truth. With the end, of course, being that we live a righteous life. And each point I give you tonight is a deeper level of embedding God's truth into your mind and into your heart. Let me give you the first one. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to Revelation chapter 1, all right? Revelation chapter 1. Keep your bookmarker in Romans. In fact, you know what? While you're there, just grab Romans, all right? Go to Romans chapter number 10. Just go back a page or two to Romans 10. And everybody look with me at verse number 17. Romans 10, verse number 17. Somebody asked the other day, asked my wife, how come Dan always takes his glasses off when he preaches? It's because I can't read with them on. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Some of you are afraid to say I'm weird. Go ahead and say that. You're weird. Yeah, all right, thank you. I can't read with my glasses on. I have to take them off to read. And I don't know, something about this age thing is I seem to be getting older. It's getting worse. I don't know why that is, do you? And but you know what? You guys ought to be encouraged in that. I can see my Bible and my notes perfectly, but I can't see you all that well, so you can sleep in church and I'll never know it, all right? Romans 10:17. I would know. Denise will tell me after church who was sleeping. No. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by, and there's the key word. What is it? Hearing. And then he repeats it. And hearing comes by the, notice, the kind of hearing that he's talking about, that kind of hearing comes by the Word of God. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Let's turn over there. Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse number 3, Revelation 1, 3. Isn't that good right there? Look at that verse, verse 3. Look at that. Blessed is he that what? Readeth. Isn't that good? God gives a blessing in context here to those who read, notice his word. He says, he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Notice verse 3, the beginning. Blessed is he that readeth and they that what? Hear. That's what we're talking about, hearing. Hearing God's word as it is preached and taught to us by godly pastors and godly teachers. You say, what are you talking about? Through church attendance, through going to a life group, through going to a Equip for Life class on Wednesday night, by going maybe to Monday night to the Freedom Found, by going to a Bible Institute class, by going online and going to crbible.com, and there we have thousands of series and messages that have been preached here all the way back 10 years that our archive goes back. And listening to that on your iPod or listening to that in your car on the way to work, There's a blessing to those who hear the word of God. You see, God has given to the body of Christ pastors and teachers. Now, why has he done that? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he gave pastors and teachers to perfect. That word perfect means to mature the saints. You see, none of us in here have reached a spiritual plateau where we no longer need to hear the word of God taught by other people. None of us have reached that level where we can say, I don't need to hear the Bible taught anymore. I got it. I got this thing covered. I got the Christian life thing down. And I don't need to go to church and I don't need to hear preaching and teaching anymore. Man, I want you to know I have arrived. Would y'all agree? Nobody can say that, amen? Nobody. Brother Dewey over here, hey, good to have him and Sandra back. And Brother Dewey, how long did you pastor? 43 years, Brother Dewey pastored. And he resigned from pastoring, but now he'll preach revivals and conferences. And if you don't mind me asking, Brother Dewey, how old are you? 77. He had to think about that for a minute, but 77. And you're still preaching all the time. But they've got a home down here, and they're down here sometimes, especially in the wintertime. And you know what? That guy's been preaching 43. He's been pastoring 43 years, been preaching the Word of God for years, and yet him and his wife are still here every single time the doors are open when they're in town. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody gets to the point where they don't need to hear the Bible anymore. Nobody gets to that point. I need to hear it. I love it when these other guys preach in the month of December, man. You know, we got to hear such a different variety of different guys teaching. Denise can tell you, I love through the years, man, listening to other pastors and preachers via the web. It used to be, I can remember the days when I, you know, had to listen with a cassette tape. Y'all remember cassettes? And then it went to CDs, and of course now you've got the web and you can listen to it. I love to hear the Word of God taught. And when we sit under the regular teaching of a man who's been gifted by the Holy Spirit, and he's been trained to expound the Word of God to us, you say, Pastor Dan, why is that so important? Because it teaches us truths from His Word. It saturates our mind with truth. Not only that, it reminds me of the truths that I'm prone to forget. You know, that is so very, very important. There are things that I've heard that I have forgotten. You know, and when you hear the preaching and the teaching of the Bible, it's not that every time we go to church we got to hear something profound that we've never heard before. You know, if you've been saved for a long, long time, odds are I'm probably not going to, you know, say something that you've never heard before very often. All right? You've probably heard it before, but how many of y'all would agree we're prone to forget and we need to hear things again? Amen? We need to hear them again and again and again. Repetition's the key to learning. And so we have to hear things over and over again until it gets embedded in our heart and embedded in our minds. You know, and not only that, when we hear the preaching and teaching of the Bible, it exhorts us to follow and to act on the truth that we already know or that we've already heard. You know, man, it's one thing to know I ought to love my neighbor, but sometimes I just need to be encouraged to do it. Amen. It's one thing to know that, yeah, I know I ought to move out of the past, like we preached this morning, and I know I need to press forward, but sometimes I just need to hear it. I need to hear it preached. I need to hear it taught. I need to see it in the Bible. I need to be exhorted as to the truth of it, and that exhorts me. That's part of what the church is all about, folks. It's not coming here to learn some novel new thing every time you show up. It's to come here and to remember the things that we've let slip or that we've forgotten, and it's also to exhort one another to obey the Bible and to do what... Hey, it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it, right? Go back with me. You're in Revelation. Go back to Hebrews real quick, chapter 10. Just go backward a few books into Hebrews, chapter number 10. That's part of what the body of Christ is. Part of a local church is coming together and it's exhorting each other to follow what we're learning, to follow what we know, to follow what we've heard. Look at Hebrews 10. Look at verse number 25, Hebrews 10. We'll go up to verse 24. It says there, Hebrews 10, 24. It says, and let us consider, and what's the next two words? One another. Boy, there's so many one another commands in the Bible. One another, one another, one another. What a godly thing, those of you who are helping on Sunday morning, you know, with the First Impressions ministry. You guys are pioneer members of that ministry. That's awesome. Because over and over, the Bible says it's about one another, one another, one another. And notice he says, let us consider one another. And here's another one of those one another commands. To provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, don't forsake the assembling of the church. You know, don't think, well, I don't need to go to church. No, he says, don't forsake that as the manner of some is. But, notice this, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, did you know that we're a day closer to the return of Christ than we were yesterday? We're a day closer. And we ought to be looking, like Paul said, loving the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be looking for that blessed hope. We should be loving His appearing. And today we're closer than we were yesterday. And the Bible says that we're exhorting one another. Why? Because there's times when you get discouraged. And I need to lift you up and exhort you and say, hey, listen, man, you know what the Bible says. And maybe remind you of some truth that you already know. You just need to be reminded. You need to be encouraged and exhorted in it. You know, and I wonder how many times have you ever come to church and you came to church and it was like, that message was just for me. That was just, I needed that, right? Aren't you glad you didn't stay home? Aren't you glad you came? You know, or you came to life group and the life group lesson was just what you needed. You know, you came back on Sunday night, it was just what you needed. You went to a Equip for Life class on Wednesday night, and it was just what you needed. Sometimes we just got to be exhorted. We got to be encouraged to follow what we know, to put into practice what we already know. And it's not always about learning some new little nifty novel new thing we never heard before. You know, no, the longer you're saved, the less that's going to happen. You have got to be exhorted to follow what you know. Man, I tell you what, if I could just put into practice what I already know, buddy, I tell you what, I'd be set, amen. You know, just doing consistently what I know to do. That's a struggle sometimes. Exhortation, hearing the word of God, hearing it taught by others. Go to Acts chapter 17. Let me show you some tips on this, all right? Whenever you're hearing someone else teach the Bible, I want to give you some practical tips to remember. Go to Acts 17. Whew. Is it hot in here to anybody but me? It's been hot, I tell you. Whew. Mercy. I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm thankful it ain't freezing in here again. You can take off clothes, amen? Look at Acts 17, not too much, amen? Acts 17. Acts 17, look at verse 11. Well, I'll tell you what, to get the context, go up to verse 10. It says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. That's a city, Berea. Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And then it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And so, you know, as you read that, man, there's some great practical stuff right there. Whenever I hear someone else preach, and last Sunday night, Pastor Rob preached, last Wednesday night, Pastor Shannon gave the word to us. Doesn't matter who's giving you the word. Doesn't matter who's teaching. Whenever somebody is standing up to teach the Bible and you are fortunate enough to be able to sit there and hear it, there's some great tips here that we learn that God calls these people noble. And the reason why is because they received the message of God's word with eagerness and with an open mind. And that's such a key, is that whenever we hear the Bible, we need to receive it with eagerness and we need to receive the Bible with an open mind. You know, there are times when we do hear things that go against the philosophy that we've been taught. They go against maybe what we've heard before. We hear things sometimes that we've never really thought of before. And the Bible says, though, that these people were noble. Why? They received the word with all readiness of mind. And another tip is that when you listen to the Bible, listen to learn, not simply to be entertained. Listen to learn, not to be entertained. You know, I mean, I said this morning, I think in one of the services, I love to laugh. You know, I got a good sense of humor. I love to laugh. I see humor. You know, my brother Steve's the same. He said, man, you see humor in everything. And I do. I see humor in all of life and in people and in everything. And I love to laugh. And I absolutely love it. But you know what? It's okay to laugh. But you know what? We don't just come to church to laugh and be entertained. We come to learn the Bible. And so when you listen to learn. You listen to learn, not to simply be entertained. Another tip, whenever you're hearing the Bible taught, always test what you hear by God's word. They were daily examining. Check out what I say. Make sure it's in line with the Bible. If Shannon or Rich or Rob or Clint are preaching and teaching, or if your life group teacher is teaching, check out what they say by the word of God. They were daily examining what Paul was saying. Just because Paul was an apostle, they were going to daily examine whether these things were so. And man, that's important. To me, that speaks to the fact that I ought to think about the message beyond just when I hear it. It shouldn't just go choom, choom. And there are people, they come to church and man, by the time they hit the back door, they've forgotten what they heard. And that's not good. Whenever you hear the Bible, if you really want it to saturate your mind and your heart, you got to think about it. You need to test it by God's word. Study it out. Listen to learn. Receive it with eagerness. And then I got one more thing to share with you, and that's this. If it's truth that you have heard, if you say, yes, that is truth, that is in line with God's word, it has not been taken out of context, and this is not something that has been wrongly divided, but this is rightly divided, this is exactly in context, that is what the Bible says, then you know what? If it's truth that you have heard, then you need to act upon it and believe it. Otherwise, it does you no good. Truth does you no good if you don't believe it and if you don't act on it. If you don't act on it, you're kind of wasting your time, aren't you? You're wasting your time listening if you're not going to act on it. So the first level of saturating your mind with truth is hearing it. Hearing it, that is being faithful. Take advantage of the opportunity. I'm preaching to the choir right now. I mean, you guys are back on Sunday night. And Sunday night, you know, isn't like Sunday morning. It's more laid back. There's no dinner tonight, you know, that we provide. There's not a dinner tonight. No ham, no au gratin potatoes. No California vegetable medley. No dessert. You know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. You guys are faithful. You guys are back on a Sunday night, and I appreciate that. And what I'm trying to say, though, is I'm encouraging you. I'm exhorting you. And I'm saying continue that hunger. Continue to take advantage of those opportunities that you have to hear the Bible. Whether it's hearing it in a life group, hearing it on a Sunday morning, hearing it on a Sunday night, coming to a Equip for Life class, it is important. And so get your kids under the sound of the Word of God. You be under the sound of the Word of God. I encourage some of you guys, if you want to accelerate your Christian growth, if you want to multiply it, then go online and pick you a series and start listening to that. And redeem the time. And when you're in the car, if you're in the car or you're in your truck or your van and you got drive time, man, listen to it. Man, if you can, you know, if you've got Bluetooth and you can do that in your car, do it. Or if you've got a CD player and you can burn it to a CD, do it. But redeem the time. Try to get the Word of God in your mind just as much as you can. You will accelerate your Christian growth, I will guarantee you. But there's a second way, and it's just a little bit of a deeper level of learning. And that's found in, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll show you the second way to feed your mind and saturate your mind with truth. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, and look at verse number 13. 1 Timothy 4, 13. Notice he says here, till I come, he tells Timothy, give attendance to what, church? Reading. You remember what we read in Revelation 1:3? Blessed is he that readeth and heareth. And when he tells Timothy, give attendance to reading, that phrase there, to give attendance, it doesn't mean like attending church or attending a class. But when he says give attendance to reading, it means pay attention to that, Timothy. Pay attention to that thing. Apply yourself to that thing. What's God teaching us? He's saying that we should pay close attention to the reading of God's word. God's reading should take precedence over all other literature. I want you to do this. I want to show you several verses real quick in Matthew. So can you go there with me? Matthew chapter 12. Let's turn over there. Matthew 12. And I want to show you something from the lips of Jesus here. Matthew 12. All right. Look at Matthew 12 and verse number 3. Go to verse 2. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 2. It says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, to Jesus, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Verse 3, but he, Jesus, said unto them, have you not what? Read. Have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? Look at verse number 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Look at chapter 19. Let's flip over. Same book, chapter 19. Look at verse number 4, chapter 19, verse 4. Verse 3 said, well, let's go to verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, there it is again, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Go to chapter 21, chapter 21. I think you see my point here, don't you? Chapter 21, look at verse number 16. And, verse 15 says, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and that the children were crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Have you not read? Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Let me show you one more. Go to chapter 22, next chapter, verse 31. Chapter 22, verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, Jesus said, have you not read? That which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus says over and over, have you not read? It's just kind of cool to me. Every single time that the Pharisees or the scribes ask him a question, Jesus starts out his answer by saying, have you not read? Have you not read? He's talking about the Bible. Jesus is saying to them, guys, you ought to know the answer to this. It's right there in your Bible. You ought to know this stuff. It's in your Bible. Have you not read? And I am convinced that all of our questions and problems in life would be cleared up by simply consistently reading God's Word, because I'm here to tell you that book has all the answers. Just reading the Bible would clear up a lot of our questions and confusions and problems and all that. Just reading the Bible consistently. He said, have you not read? You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but the Bible's more important than the news journal. And the Bible's more important than Sports Illustrated. And the Bible's more important than whatever, FoxNews.com. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying it's more important than that. I mean, Revelation 1:3 said, blessed is he that readeth these words. One of the absolute greatest habits that you could ever establish in your life is reading God's Word daily. Just reading the Bible every day. And by the way, those of you with children, one of the greatest things you could ever do is teach them to get into God's Word daily. The younger, the better. Go with me to Psalm 119 real quick. So this is a great chapter. In case you've never read it, you ought to read it this week. Read Psalm 119. It's amazing. Every verse in this particular psalm, I can't remember exactly. I think it's three or four verses. Some of you may know. But I think almost every single verse in this entire psalm mentions the Bible in some way. Calls it maybe precepts or commandments or, judgments. But it has different synonyms it uses for his commandments or his word. But I think every verse but three or four verses in this psalm, and there's 176 verses, mention the Bible. This is the greatest chapter that you'll read on the Bible. And in Psalm 119, I want you to look with me at verse number 9. It says, wherewithal? In other words, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How do you clean your life up? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, he says, thy word, let's all say it together, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you think it would help us to live righteously if we read the Bible on a consistent basis? Do you think it would? Say amen if you think it would. You believe that? Some of you are like, Pastor Dan, I know I ought to read the Bible, but are you doing it? That goes back to what we said earlier. Coming to church is not always about just hearing something we've never heard. Sometimes it's just somebody exhorting us and encouraging us to do what we know we should have been doing all along. Are you reading the Bible? You know, there's two levels here. There's hearing, and that's great. That's awesome. But then not only do you need to hear other people teach it, you need to go a little deeper, and you need to be reading it for yourself. Reading it for yourself. Now, there's a deeper level to this, and I think we'll stop there tonight, and we'll pick up here next week. I'm going to pick right up where I left off next Sunday night, and we'll look, because I'm going to help you to go a little deeper. That's enough for us to work on this week, amen, is listening to it more and reading it for ourselves.